Blog Talk Radio.
I'm not as organized as some blog talk hostesses and have this music going. I figured it was going to take us all the way into the new year. So anyway, I have my two co-hosts unmuted. One of whom is typing away a storm. We can hear them. Jan and Peg, are you both there?
I am here. Yes.
Yes.
Everyone,
right here.
Great. Anyway, well, happy early new year. Last time we got together was Christmas Eve, and 7 days have gone by, and now it's New Year's Eve, and I guess it's already the new year in many places, all the way into Europe, and the new year is now, I think, just crossing the ocean, and will be with us soon. So I'm really excited for those of you who were not here last week. I'm a new co-hostess for the Tuesday night show, and that's Peg Wolf-Jones, and she is an angel practitioner and her website I have in the chat. It's Peg's Angelic Whispers. Since we're starting the new year, because we need some new energy and some new positive energy here on Psychics Gone Wild, we decided to do a 7-part series on the chakras, starting with the first chakra, which is the root chakra. But anyway, before we get started with all that, Jan, how are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good and really excited, and so I think this is going to be a really cool series about the chakras and the animals and the angels that go with them. And so, and I also have a poem if you want me to read it later on, maybe at the end or something, if we get to that. And for the new year.
Oh, beautiful. We will make sure that we leave time. And for those of you that are in the queue, we probably will take some callers at some point in time, but for right now, I think we're going to focus on the chakra. I'm a little disjointed here. Anyway, I forgot, Peg, how are you doing today?
I'm doing really good.
How are you?
Yep.
Are you feeling better? Last week we had three ailing co-hostess, but we did manage to all make ourselves feel better over the course of the show. But
yes, I do feel much better today. Still have a little bit of a cough, but it's really nothing much. So I'm feeling a lot better.
Good, so, good. Yeah.
That's nice.
go ahead. You have to excuse me.
I
there's some revelers outside already with, and down here in Florida, I can never tell if it's fireworks or fire or guns. In fact, we got this post from down here in Florida. We have to warn everyone not to celebrate by shooting your guns in the air. And if you think I'm making it up, sadly I'm not. And one New Year's, we actually did have a bullet come through the roof of our little patio on our porch. Craziness. I hear all these rebel rousers outside, and I think it's just fireworks, and everyone's just excited for a new year. So to get started here, I think I need to just get a little grounded here myself. You know, there's multiple, and interestingly, Peg is getting ready to offer classes on a series of classes on the chakras. This is really just going to be a basic overview, just reminding everybody about the energetic centers in our body, because really just focusing on them when we're upset about something or feel any sort of dis-ease, usually it's everything we've learned is energetic. You know, talking to deceased loved ones, you know, getting psychic information, it's all about the energy, you know, these energy centers in our body. And depending on what school of thought you subscribe to, there can be many more than seven. Peg, I'd be interested to hear from you. Do you focus just on the seven primary chakras that coordinate with the colors of the rainbow, or do you, when you work with the chakras, do you work with more than seven?
For now, I'm just working with the seven. That's about as far as I've gotten. I guess I've known about the chakras for a long time, but I'm getting to learn the lower ones. I've always, you know, the red and the orange and the yellow, I've always been able to focus and talk more about the heart and the throat and the third eye and the crown a lot easier. So for now, yeah, it's just the seven. I would like to.
Yeah, I think seven's enough. We can certainly go on and learn more and more things, and they build on that. But we're just trying to get a working knowledge of these things. You know, the seven, it goes with the seven. There's a lot of things that appear in patterns of seven. And you bring up something really important, you know, when you were talking about how you spent so much time focusing on the higher chakras, you know, the green, the blue, you know, the heart.
Right.
The blue, which is a communication, and then the third eye and the crown chakra. You know, we seem to, you know, especially for those of us who are, you know, doing psychic work and mediumship work and things, those are the chakras where intuition resides and our clairs reside. But we forget that because we have manifested these bodies to learn, you know, for whatever reason you subscribe to why we are walking this earth, we tend to neglect our lower chakras and consider them to be like lesser chakra. You know, we talk about lower vibrations, and our, you know, the root chakra is you know, the lowest of the chakras. It is at the base of the spine, and it is not, it's a survival chakra. It's very basic, but it's equally, each of the chakras is equally important. And it's very important to remember that we are having, you know, while we're learning more and more about our soul and the bigger picture as far as our beings go, at this point in time, we are having a human experience, and we are on Earth, and it is our root chakra that keeps us down to Earth.
It's an important chakra
for physical health. Anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to step all over you there.
Oh, no, I was just going to say it's our basic grounding chakra, you know, and it's more of our physical chakra more than a spiritual chakra like, you know, the last four are, and, you know, some of the information that I got is, you know, talking about the importance of being grounded, you know, in our physical body and when our lower three chakras, especially the red one, is grounded, then we are probably more healthy, you know, because they're balanced. And, you know, that's another thing is it's important to, you know, make sure our chakras are balanced, because I know from personal experience when my chakras are not balanced, then I'm all out of sorts. And, you know, like one time I went for a clearing and a balance, and I was told my lower chakras were all bunched up in between my heart and my throat chakra, so it's like they had to balance. They had to be balanced so that they were all, you know, where they were supposed to be, and I could tell because I was like, overwhelmed in different things in life, you know, and because I was giving so much and I wasn't balancing what needed to be balanced. So, but that's just a little side thing. There's ways that we can ground. Music can help us in grounding, you know, just by listening to the music and just kind of focusing on what the music is all about and everything, making sure that we're grounded, you know, having a daily practice of grounding ourselves can help us, you know.
Yeah. But I noticed that a lot of people, we really have, you know, while our root chakra, one of the really important things about the root chakra, and I know it's one of the things that many of us still struggle with, is really where we house our information about our sense of family and our family beliefs. And I know many of us have had great challenges with our families. And some of us, in order to love certain family members, have had to break off ties with their families. And, you know, some people have gone through, you know, great emotional, physical, all sorts of abuse at the hands of family members. I think it's very, very important to remember that the root chakra is where those things, those thoughts are housed. And much work as we may have done, some of our family members, as much healing as may have taken place, no matter how, you know, I know so many of us are like, well, I forgave them, but forgiveness is sort of an active thing. We have to continue. We can't like just forgive and forget. We have to forgive and then remember to forgive and remember to forgive. And I think it's really important because so many of us do struggle and have been, you know, such issues of our family that our root chakra is where that is housed. And while I don't want to say that, you know, all illnesses can be healed by changing your mind, that's really an oversimplification and really trivializes certain things. The physical dysfunctions associated with the root chakra, things such as lower back pain, sciatica, varicose veins, hemorrhoids, depression, and various immune-related disorders. Now, I don't want to say if any of you are suffering from any of those things, it's because you haven't forgiven your family. You know, you need to just forgive your family. You know, once we start experiencing physical symptoms, you know, there is a physical issue that that has to be created, that has to be corrected, and it can't always just be wished away or meditated away. The root chakra governs the spinal column, our kidneys, legs, feet, and our immune system. So for any of you who have ongoing problems with those various parts of your body, you might want to just take a look at, you know, are there some real issues of survival, self-esteem, security, that being threatened by certain thoughts that you may have, and perhaps engage in some sort of affirmations that are focused on the root chakra or some sort of body work. I've heard, you know, grounding ourselves. I've heard people say, you know, that they, no matter how cold it is, I mean, I live in Florida at the beach, so it's easy for me to go put my feet in the sand and get grounded that way. But that's one way to ground ourselves, by just remembering that we are walking this earth and putting our feet on this earth. Jan, do you have any other suggestions of little grounding techniques?
Yeah, mostly like what you said, like I think music is excellent too, for sure. I have to have music all the time, and walking on the earth for sure, in the dirt if you can, if you can even get your feet in the dirt, like especially when it's time to do like in the spring. But right now when it's cold, I know it's really cold, but I'm going to try and do that anyway, even though it's cold out, put my feet on the ground, on the grass here. And they even say to go ahead and lay your body on the grass, just even for 5 or 10 minutes. One of my friends who's a healer sent me a whole thing on grounding, just this particular thing for healing people who have illnesses, and that laying on the grass just for 5 or 10 minutes a day, no matter how cold it is, if you could just do it, will help. And so I've been trying to do it. It's hard because I get really cold, but you know, I'm trying to do it, and I'm trying to walk in it. But yeah, that is a great grounder. Dancing is also another grounder too, if you're physically able to do it. Now, I used to dance for many, many years, and I did it even professionally. It was the thing that was my saving grace for many years until now. For me, I've had an illness, and I've had it for a long, long time. And Amy, you just kind of, I feel like you were talking about me there, but I know it's, you know, not every single thing, but a lot of it, I can really relate to it. I think my root chakra is pretty much gone. And so that's something I need to work on a lot. And and even the blood tests come up for some of those things, like the kidneys and stuff like that. I've had a lot of bowel problems and stuff. And a lot of it was associated maybe with family stuff, maybe not all that negative, but maybe just stress, taking care of family and being worried a lot, you know, and it just kind of tears you up a little bit. But, you know, also just maybe other, a lot of other things. So for me, this is what I need to work on a lot. And the meditation has been a miracle for me to try and connect with the chakras. I'm not at that experience with chakras. I don't really know a whole lot about them until I was connected to Psychics Gone Wild. And Amy was talking about them before. And so it's since I've been doing this meditation that Jethro showed me, Jethro Smith, it helps you get in tune with the chakras, and I'm learning more about them and what they are. And I've never seen colors like this in my life. I didn't even know I could see colors. And I'm seeing purple and turquoise and all kinds of cool ones. And I see red all the time too. But the upper ones I see a lot. But what's really cool is when I start seeing the purples, then I know I'm going to start getting messages, and that's when I do get more messages when I do that, when I see them. But, yeah, I guess I really like the idea of music, dance, and walking the earth myself. I wish I could dance more now, but because I've been so ill, I haven't been able to dance. So those are the main grounding things that I know of. You can also use some kinds of incense like patchouli, sandalwood. They say musk and cedar is good for that. Also, what's that?
Also, digging in your garden and watering your plants.
Yeah.
Is a good way to get grounded too. And let me see, what else did I say? Go for a walk, or like you said, go to the beach. And concentrate on your breathing too, you know, and count the breaths. Make sure you breathe slowly so you don't hyperventilate. Cross your legs and arms and feel the sensations of your controlling body. I guess it's almost like being aware of your body and, you know, how it feels in different, in different scenarios.
It's really interesting. It's the root chakra. You know, we spend so much time trying to not deny our physical existence, but, you know, if we view our physical existence as separation, like with the Course in Miracles and many philosophical schools of thought and branches of spirituality, for lack of a better term, do, we almost think of the root, you know, our humanness as being bad, and the root chakra as being, you know, it's just so basic. But in order for us to truly be able to explore the higher realms of consciousness, we have to own the fact that we're having this physical experience, whether it's illusion or not, or whether, you know, in different schools of thought, what it is. And I think that's why so many people really do struggle with a lot of these issues that are associated with the root chakra, is because we're, to a certain extent, trying to escape our human experience. And it's not a matter of escaping the physical world. We need to acknowledge and participate in the physical world. And one of the affirmations that I remember, you know, one of the affirmations that comes up when I think about the first chakra, that it is our right to be well. Many of us are so focused either, you know, because of our situations in our lives or things like that, focused on making sure those around us are well, or we're too busy to relax because we have so many other people that we have to care for, or we have these financial challenges that require our attention and really, really important to understand that when we meditate and focus and nurture our root chakra, we are owning our bodies. And
right.
So many things. I'm just reading here. There's just so much on it, but a lot of insecure emotional imbalances include insecurity, fear, anxiety, worry, depression, lack of enthusiasm, head in the clouds, feeling like you don't belong, feeling like you can't cope, inability to relax, easily drained by others, and mood swings. And then some of the physical imbalances include accident proneness, brittle bones, arthritis, hemorrhoids, anemia, leukemia, lack of energy, and poor circulation. And I know I have issues where my hands and feet fall asleep a lot. And that's a circulatory issue, and it's interesting that they bring up leukemia because today is actually my wedding anniversary, and it's also 3 years ago on my wedding anniversary, which is also New Year's Eve. They told me that Keith was going into hospice, which was really a shock because I was in such – I just thought since we were paying all this money to all these doctors that, you know, surely healing was going to take place. And it was on 3 years ago today that I found out that healing was going to require him leaving his body. Now, he actually been diagnosed with leukemia, but when I look back on his entire life, he just really, from having a very challenging, to say the least, childhood, a lot of abuse and a lot of just crazy stuff that doesn't really, there's no benefit of sharing, because I know many of you have walked through difficult childhoods, really just never overcame, you know, he really just never overcame it. He really, you know, just, and as a result, went through most of his life, I guess for lack of a better term, fearful and unprepared. And it was interesting when his, I didn't even really know about a lot of these things, certainly before he died, and then after he died, he had a cousin who's a naturopathic physician, Larry Malerba, and he wrote a book, Green Medicine, and he talked in terms of him, you know, dying not just from leukemia or the complications of leukemia, but from complications tied to a damaged root chakra. It really is true. There's so many things that we will, it just has to do with, it just has to do with changing our mind. Doesn't mean denying it. Doesn't mean putting your head in the sand about horrible things that happen. Doesn't mean that you have to spend your holidays with a bunch of people who are dangerous and crazy. But it does. But you do have to change your mind, which can be a very difficult thing to do. You know, many of us have very challenging financial situations these days, and it's one thing to have great financial challenges. It's quite another thing to totally define yourself in terms of those financial challenges. Many of us also struggle with properly eating. We'll either starve ourselves or we'll binge eat or we'll go back and forth or we'll deny ourselves food. And think of all the different ways that we will or to punish ourselves for some reason that are really tied, you know, to the root chakra. And nourishing our body is one of them. Many of the issues tied to addictions also, you know, we're trying to, when we try to destroy ourselves, whether, you know, we do it the fast route with, you know, suicide urges, or if we go the slow route with not taking care of ourselves, not getting proper rest, not eating what your body is asking you to eat, it really ends up, it's like we created, you know, we've got this earth, we'd rather be so addicted to the familiar. And I think in the root chakra is where we house familiar. So if we don't redefine our early experiences, if we don't come to peace with some of our earlier losses in our life, we will unconsciously engage in patterns of self-destruction and also block things that can, good things that can happen to us. And I'm just looking at a site here, talks about the positive aspects of a balanced root chakra, and they are courage, and courage is different than, like, you know, like, not, I don't want to call it stupidity. Courage is like an is different from being reckless. Honesty, self-confidence, security, stability, vitality, safety, trust, and happiness. And here's some positive affirmations. I am confident. Life is generous. I am safe and secure. I belong. I am healthy and energetic. I am motivated and successful. I cherish my body and eat healthy. I'm in control of my urges. I'm appreciated at work. I am financially secure. I'm connected to nature. I have enough of everything I need. Honor my commitments and agreements, and I have endless opportunities. So those are, and I think about, and I would love to hear, because I'm talking too much, you know, just from listening to all the different blog talk shows and just what I hear readers, you know, callers call in and ask about, a lot of the things that they're asking about, you know, is my boyfriend going to call? That really is, you know, they're, when you think of boyfriend issue or, you know, romance issues, you think of the heart, but it's not really the heart at all. Most of those kind of calls are really because someone has a blocked root chakra and they are not confident and they do not feel safe and secure. So many people who call up because they have financial, you know, being financially secure and saying that you have enough of everything you need is totally different than, you know, for people who have lost their job, need to be able to look for a job, and you need to be able to be motivated to continue to reap the abundances that are freely available. But none of the laws of attraction or none of the spiritual laws of the universe or anything work if we have a root chakra that is out of balance. So anyway, I'll let one of the other, I'll let Heather Jean talk for a while because I'm babbling here.
Well, we had talked about who the angel was for the chakra, and the angel is Archangel Sandalphon, and he's the ruling angel and protector of the earth with personal and global responsibility. He's kind of the angel that probably might be closest to the earth in many ways in helping us to balance both our physical and our spiritual, and he increases life force and physical vitality. And he is also associated with survival, security, grounding, and support, which is all that we have been talking about. So as someone that works with angels, I may suggest that if you would like help with this, that maybe working with Archangel Sandalphon would be a good person to speak to about this. I thought at some point, excuse me, we could do a short meditation in working with Archangel Sandalphon, just for us to kind of, you know, have some experience or some exposure in working with him. And so we can do that at some point too. So I don't know when you want to do that, if you want to do it now.
Yeah, let's do. First of all, I wanted to take a quick call from a dear friend of mine and a fellow Blog Talk host, because she raised her hand, which is rare, because usually Chris just sits in and quietly listens. Chris, are you there?
Hey, Amy and Peg and Jen, how are you?
Hi, Chris. Hi, Chris. How you doing?
I'm doing good. I just wanted to call quick and, you know, wish Happy New Year to everybody. And really, Amy, just to you also, you know, you have, we picked you up around, I don't know, this past year somewhere. I don't know where we picked you up from, Amy, but you've been, you know, really just so supportive of my show and a really good fit in the chat room with everybody. And so I wanted to, you know, make a call in today to thank you for that and, you know, just wish for the best that could be in this next coming year for you.
Thank you so much. I got goosebumps. I'm just, like, getting tingly goosebumps. Because it has, I mean, Curious Times is on every night from 10 to midnight. And if you call in, then we have an extra hour from 12 to 1. And Chris is just such, he insists that she's not psychic, but I think she's something better than psychic. She definitely has, she has one of the most sincere root chakras I've ever seen, because she's just practical and has provided this forum. And I know many of the people who are in chat tonight would say similar things about you. But Chris is going to be on tonight from 10 to midnight Eastern time, and then do the math on the other times. And I can think of no better way to bring in the new year and no better group of people to share the time with. Now, you won't get as much beer spilled on you as you will if you go to a bar. You probably won't get a DUI, but you will laugh as hard. You will laugh as hard because, you know, spirit. One thing about spirituality is if it's not funny, it's probably not. It's probably not spiritual. So we sort of laugh and cry and call each other on our shit and all sorts of stuff all at the same time. So I appreciate you calling in. I just wanted to make sure we got to you in case you wanted to
run
off to some of the other shows.
No, I'll stay. I'm just sticking here, but it'll be nice to detach from the headset. Jan, keep up, you know, keep up what you're doing and, you know, gain your confidence and you know what I mean? Like, step up like you have been and keep doing that. You know, I think that you're, I mean, I would rather deal with people that are a little bit less, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, not shyer, but like, you know, not full of ego. You know what I mean? For sure. And you know, like, I think that I'd rather deal with people like that and bring them forward than to, you know, have somebody that thinks they're bigger than life and they got nothing going on. You know what I mean? And so, but, you
thank
know, like,
you.
As I say to Bree all the time, and it's worked, you know, it's taken a little bit of work with Bree, but, like, you know, you're good. You're good at what you do, so gain, you know, speak with the authority and the confidence that you that somebody who is as good as you are should be speaking with. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's
Thanks
what
a lot, Chris. I really, that's so kind of you. I really appreciate you saying that. It's so, oh my gosh, that's so nice.
Okay, kumbaya, kumbaya, wow. And Peg, good luck with your courses, and just Happy New Year, everybody, and I'm going to get out of here now. Thanks so much, Amy.
Happy New Year.
Well, thank Happy you. Thank you so much for being here all year, and what Chris says is very true, and I hope that next year, Chris becomes more than just a radio host and really becomes a voice, because she is truly the a true voice, and she's very supportive. We've got Insights by Isabel. She's in the chat room, and she's speaking wonderful things about Jan as well, and she says to stand in your power. Yeah. And for those of you, while we're having a little short break before we move into the meditation, Isabel is going to be on Nana's show, which is Soul's Eye View. That's going to start at 8. So everyone can really just, instead of bar hopping tonight, can blog talk hop from show to show. And she's going to be sharing the airwaves with Nana, who's just a wonderful ball of light and laughter. And Tarot by Thunder Wolf. Especially for those who, I know there's been a few people in the queue who are asking if we're going to do readings. I'm going to unmute the lines here and there, but we're not going to be focusing primarily on readings, tonight. So with that said,
Jan? I'm going to just jump in for 1 second. I just really appreciate Chris saying that. She's just wonderful. She's just awesome. And Sally is too. And I really appreciate them coming to our show today. But I did see the owl when Chris came in. And I just wanted to say real quickly what it says here on the top. The owl means swift and exacting, sees clearly, knows the truth, seeks its own wisdom. And I really think that is so true about her too. She really does see very clearly and knows so much truth, and is swift and exacting too.
Yeah.
Anyway.
That's beautiful. That is beautiful. And she really, you know, and I think the reason that she can do so much good is because she balances out. You know, people call in for readings, and when people are doing readings, they are really in their higher chakras. You know, certainly not intuition sort of starts in the stomach. You know how we get feelings in our stomach? It's kind of the beginnings of the different clairs and the and moving into intuition. So you know, her guests will bring forth something that comes from spirit, and then, you know, Chris complements it with something that's definitely, then it's really, you know, it's really the balance that all of us need to find, a balance between, you know, even if you think of the Christmas carol about heaven and nature, you know, that's, we are a balance of heaven and nature. And I know heaven can be really alluring. I know, you know, after Keith died, I found great comfort in spirit, and I got a lot of answers, and I got a lot of closure, and it's been just a wonderful gift. But at the same time, it can be very alluring to spend, you know, to spend all your time in spirit and forget about that, you know, the universe wanted me here on earth, you know, to do earthly things. So it is a balance. So with that, Peg, why don't we shift over to the meditation that you selected?
Okay, well, it's just something that's been kind of given to me. It's pretty simplistic. and it probably won't take that long. At some point during the meditation, you'll probably converse with Archangel Sandalphon for a few minutes on your own to maybe ask him a question or something. And of course, when I do my meditations, I always start with grounding. So I'm going to ask everyone to just kind of sit back in your chairs and kind of take some deep breaths in through your nose and out through your mouth, and just try to forget about the day and just, you know, kind of focus on Archangel Sandalphon and what his message may be for you. And then as you're taking these breaths, to kind of imagine small roots growing out of the soles of your feet and going down deep into the ground. Imagining small rocks grounding you and anchoring you for protection and grounding. At the top of your head, there is a ball of white light, and this ball of white light travels slowly down over your head, down to your shoulders, and you can feel its warmth and its healing qualities as it travels there and stays a few minutes. And as it travels down to your torso, down to your waist, to the tips of your toes, you know that you're now in a ball of white light and you're protected. And as you go outside and you come to a path, you begin to walk this path. And on the right side, you can see that there is a small brook babbling and following the path. And on the left side, there is a garden of different colors of flowers, colors of the chakras, the reds, the greens, the yellows, the oranges, the blues, the purples, the indigos, and they're scattered in this garden. And as you go down the path through the garden, you come to a large rock, and you climb up the rock, and you look out at the garden, and in the distance, you can see a ball of light coming towards you, coming towards the rock. And as it lands on the rock, you see that it is Archangel Sandalphon. And Archangel Sandalphon would like to talk to you and take any questions that you may have about your life on Earth, about grounding, about survival, security, and support. So I'll give you a few minutes, and you can speak with Archangel Sandalphon for a few minutes. So I'm going to, I think I've given about a minute, so I think I'm going to ask you to finish up your conversation with Archangel Sandalphon, And you can type in the room K if you're done, and then we can begin the last part of the meditation. And I see there's a lag.
Yeah, just let us know, everybody, if you're done. And for those of you who have a hard time doing meditations while they're also in chat and on the phone, I'd urge you to listen to this in archives. We are at, this started at about 34 minutes into the show. So fast forward to 34 minutes into the show and use this as a tool throughout the new year because this is very, very helpful.
Okay, so
I think we'll presume that everyone's that everyone's done.
So we say thank you to Archangel Sandalphin, and he may have a gift for us, or he may have a word for us that he parts with. And you see that he goes off again, off into the distance, and you just sit there on the rock and just kind of look over the beauty of the garden and all that is there. And you realize that it's time to start to leave. So you get down off the rock and you walk back on the path and open the gate and go out of the garden and walk back down the path. And when you get home, you put on a golden wrap and you wrap it tightly around you. And when you have done that, you can count down from 12 to 1. And after you have done that, you will know that at any time you would like to speak with Archangel Sandalphin, that you may do that. So I hope that that has helped you with maybe starting a conversation with Archangel Sandalphin. And asking for help if that is something that you might need for yourself. I feel like he almost is helping us to balance, you know, the spiritual and the physical. And I feel like that's why he probably brought us into a garden, you know, with lots of flowers and nature and different things. So I hope that that was helpful, and you can listen to it in the archives at any time. So thank you.
Yeah, that was very helpful, and I actually had never even heard of Archangel Sam. Archangel Sambleson. It's interesting, when I was reading some stuff preparing for this show, and this is why it's so important to seek out people who have, you know, we all think that we can go to medical school on Google, law school, psychic school, angel practitioner school, you know, on Google. And there's plenty of information on the internet, but we always want to evolve our information and make sure that it's that, you know, because it's not going to be the whole, we get our information in sound bites, you know, and then, you know, we take the sound bites and think that we're scholars on some of these things. And one of the things that I read, we did a quick Google search, was that it was Archangel Michael that was an angel associated with the root chakra. So if you could just explain to me quick for a point of comparison, how does Archangel Michael compare and contrast to Archangel Sandalphin?
You know, I have heard Archangel Michael too, and I think Archangel Michael kind of helps us with our personal safety and personal protection. And I think that, you know, he helps us to understand that, because that basically is what he, you know, what he is known for. And so, but he's more known for, like, you know, justice, like for policemen, lawyers, you know, judges. But I think in this case, I think he's talking about our personal safety and, you know, and our health and our well-being. So I can see how Archangel Michael could be a part of. I think that there's a lot of different philosophies as to who
Brian.
The archangels are, because I had also seen Archangel Gabriel. So
And I think it also depends on your the way that your issues, for lack of a better term, associated with your root chakra manifest. You know, for some people, you know, they just have, they're incredibly fear-based, you know, fear that they don't
right.
have, you know, fear that their house is going to be taken away, you know, and I can see where he would be associated with those aspects of it. But what I really liked in the meditation that you brought forth is really this balancing of heaven and nature, balancing the spiritual experience with the physical experience. And I think that that's really where my greatest challenge, you know, I've been around the block and I've lost enough stuff to know that, yeah, okay, so you lost the stuff, you'll get new stuff, you know, everything's going to be fine. You know, some of that stuff just comes in trial and error in age. So I'm not that kind of fearful anymore. But I would say that my biggest challenge associated with my root chakra is knowing when to come back down to earth. And walking this earth with confidence and security and feeling like I belong, because I mean, spend a great deal of time, and so many of us spend a great deal of time not feeling like we belong. So Jan, I'm going to shift over to you for a little bit and sound in our preparation for the show, that there's certain animals that are associated with the root chakra, and I'd be interested to see what you found. I mean, I think it's interesting because when Chris, the woman with the biggest root chakra I know, came, you saw an owl, but I hadn't seen that. When I, you know, a quick Google search told me the elephant. So why don't you tell us a little bit about animal totems and the root chakra?
Oh. Well, I was just seeing the owl in general, not associating to her root chakra or anything. The owl just popped in when she got on the phone. But I don't know which chakra owl is associated with. But actually, I did look that up, and let me just see. I had just written something down, and it had talked about that not only was the elephant a really main animal for the root chakra, but yes, the owl is too. Oh my gosh, I wrote it down. It in on this one one site that I looked at, it talked about the elephant being a very good root chakra, and it says that most animals colored in red are associated with the root chakra, and it said that the owl, it's definitely one of them. Owl finds deeper reasoning in relationships and events and is able to see and hear past darkness to the promise of light. It's almost like a cat with wings. They watch behind the scenes, and they confront those who deceive us. they are a totem of psychics and clairvoyants, et cetera, et cetera. Anyway, that's just about the owl. But they also said the snake was another one, and the rabbit was another one for the root chakra. But the one that I was going to talk about today mostly was the elephant, because it's really known for the root chakra, and what they just call it, root chakra elephant, you know, basically from what I've read about it. And so it's really interesting. And I have all this stuff on it. And the elephant is depicted as holding the world and even the universe upon its back. In Africa, it was represented long life, great strength, and wisdom. The elephant, as a clan member, is matriarchal and will rally to the defense of their young in their clan when it's needed. This is the animal of great intelligence. If it's your totem, your heart is open and your feet are on the ground. So it's a grounding type of animal. And you are sensitive to what lies between the unspoken words and feelings, and you have great depth of emotion and natural grace and humility. You take responsibility and you find satisfaction in being service of others, whether to yourself or your family or the community. Come into your experience when you know what you need, but something seems to be in the way, so that obstacle may be the other people in that may have something to do with your own fears and doubts. The elephant can give you the strength to pull yourself out of those unbalanced feelings and negative emotional states. In other words, if you're going through some kind of blockage and you're having fears and doubts about it, or whatever it may be, the elephant is strong enough to pull yourself out of those blockages and get back into balance again. So it's a real grounding animal to be able to do stuff like that. My cat just can't get her out of the way. It's a him. And it says, elephant, root yourself and inherit the earth. That's what the elephant is known for. The totem of the root chakra brings in energies of abundance and has the ability to easily surpass life's difficulties, refreshing you up and making you assume responsibility. So I think that's kind of interesting. And that's just one little section about the elephant. I've seen elephants in a couple, you know, some people and stuff, and it's just really interesting to find out how it relates to their life. And it seems like a lot of these ideas about the elephant really do fit, you know, I mean, some of the people that I've seen. But they are, the elephant is an ancient symbol of royalty, wisdom, and the warrior spirit. It feels deeply and responds to life with attuned inner knowledge. People who have the elephant totem usually are people who are always constantly studying or wanting to find out more about ancient wisdom or spirituality, and who are just involved in all of this. You know, they also have a great deal of smell that they're in tune with. They don't see that well, so the elephant smells really well. And so a lot of people who are involved in fragrance and aromatherapy might have an elephant totem, because that's associated with the elephant. And they even say that it's a good idea if you do have an elephant totem to get involved in aromatherapy, because it will somehow, you'll be able to pave your way with opening up that communication in that field. So that's kind of neat to think of it that way. And the elephant also will have a lot of grief towards its loved ones, and it will experience rage too. So you know, sometimes the elephant type person, or a person with the elephant totem, they say that the elephant might lash back at somebody if something happens to them. And so you want to be careful about that. We try not to lash back at people, we as much as we can, but the elephant in general as a animal is known to do that. And anyway, because of the size of the elephant, a lot of people will relate to them to clouds, and people will look into the clouds and see elephants in there because the elephants are so big that they're easy to see in the clouds. So some people will do psychic readings just by looking at the clouds and looking at see if there are elephants or any other kind of animal too. But I guess they see a lot of elephants because they form themselves in the clouds. And they symbolize the mist that separates the formed worlds from the unformed worlds. They associate with Neptune, prophecy, fertility, and family. So with their poor eyesight and they rely on the sense of smell, pay attention to what smells are, good and bad, and are you not discriminating as you should, or does something smell funny? Increased smell sensitivity can open energies and worlds otherwise inaccessible. So that's why they say to go into using fragrances and oils and aromatherapy, because people with totems like this might do well with that. The other thing that the elephant is that relates to the root chakra also is it's a sexual symbol. And, the root chakra is in that area of that area, et cetera. And so that's just one interesting thing about them. And they also are into plants and roots because their tusks have been used as tools for digging edible roots. The elephants show great affection and loyalty to each other. They will help their sick and wounded comrades. And the elephant comes as a true entity or animal for a true society. In other words, they're so pure and true that they would be so good in a true society. They establish powerful family and societal ideals, caring for the young, respect for the elderly and the sick. Now we're talking about people who have these totems. Ancient wisdom and power, claiming your own most primordial royalty, et cetera, et cetera. So anyway, they're a pretty powerful totem, and they're beautiful. They're amazing. And my husband has a elephant statue, and he's always had it, and I always wondered why on earth he had that. I didn't know anything much about elephants years ago, and now I understand why he has it, because he really is somebody that is so responsible, and he cares for people who are around him. He helped out with my mom and I when she was sick, and he was caring for the elderly, in that way. And just, I don't know if he knew that was his totem or anything, but I think it was given to him as a gift. But anyway, he relates to the elephant. He loves the elephant. And so that's kind of interesting. Also, I know I'm going on and on, but I had a friend that I worked with in a health spa when we were doing massage once, and she was a dancer too. And anyway, she told me that she worked in the circus years ago. She told me that she was offered to ride the elephant in her show, and she was an aerialist. She was really into, the aerial stuff, to being a ballerina up in the air with the ropes and all that stuff around the neck. But they offered her the elephant, and she said that she just felt it. She knew that she had to go there. She knew she had to get on the back of the elephant and ride it. And she didn't know why, but she just knew she had to do it. And she did. She did it for several years, and she said she loved it. She felt a communication with the elephant. And so I didn't know anything about animals back then, but I was thinking about that today and thinking, wow, that is so cool, because she felt that spirit. She wanted to be around it, and they got along really well. So anyway, it's interesting what kind of animals we come with, that we feel comfortable with, et cetera, et cetera. And she was a very gentle but very kind of intense kind of personality of protection and responsibility, and she was the manager of our club there. And so that's what I got on the elephant, and I do see them from time to time when I go into meditations, and I've seen quite a few elephant people, totems for people, but I think they're just powerful. They're very special.
That's fascinating. Mm-hmm. It's really fascinating how everything, as we explore this stuff, how everything relates to each other. And if you just start looking at connections between things instead of the separation between things, it all just starts to make perfect sense. Something I found here when I was just trying to gather some more information via Google is that the first chakra, according to this, again, and I'd be interested to see if I'm sure many people who work with animals may disagree with some of this, but that the root chakra is the lowest chakra in human beings, but it's the highest in animals. It's a chakra of group consciousness in which animals live. Also, humans who identify only by family, nationality, race, religion. So basically what they're saying here is our root chakra, in its most negative and fear-based, you know, fear-based self is, you know, it creates when we have animal instinct where, you know, we just want to lunge on, you know, where we just want to lunge or attack. From what I'm reading here, it's really the root chakra, you know, inappropriate use of the energies in the root chakra, I think I would say, that is responsible for racism and ethnic wars and hate crime type of hate-based types of things. But then it flips and it says the positive aspect of the first chakra inspires us to be loving, passionate, warm, and compassionate to those with whom we share our identity, whether it is in our family relationships, community, as a nation, and I would say not just as a nation, as a, you know, as a species, it's where we create unity, common goals, and responsibilities. So just as it's capable of wreaking all this havoc and creating fear-based negativity, it can also be used to create, you know, if we, it can also be used to expand our understanding of what it is, that, you know, what our community is. No longer, you know, because of the internet, you know, because of all these changes, you know, we're not living in little tribes anymore. You know, we're living in a global, and some people would say even intergalactical world. And that by expand, you know, when we use this meditation that Peg shared with us, and you think of those who are around you and those who impact your life, focusing on this idea of that all is one. I think it's hard for us to understand that, and it certainly, if we look at the way our, you know, culture was, you know, over the past 20 years, we were very acute. We were accumulating stuff, and we were measuring ourselves based on the number of belongings we had, which is really a hoarding type mentality. So really, if you think of that, you know, because we saw our sense of community, you know, our community in our mind was just very, very small, you know, our family, like our, even just our, the people who live in the same house as us, and, you know, even more so maybe when it came right down to it, just us. And this is where, you know, when our, the energies associated with the root chakra are left examined, to where anger, greed, revenge, hate crimes, and the lust for power and control come from. However, once we sort of accept that we're capable of that, but realize that we don't necessarily have to do that, the energy sort of shifts to this idea that all is one. In order for us to sustain ourselves, you know, every choice we make impacts others. And so we really are all, you know, regardless of what your thoughts tell you, you know, we really are all one. We really are our decisions impact. And, you know, Chris, who was on earlier, is always joking about the kumbaya moments and things like that. But we really all are one. One, and not just the people we like, one with the people we like. We are all one because we're all, you know, sharing this planet. And, you know, I think that on the impact of those sorts of things, that we'll feel more grounded, and we won't fear our neighbors, and we won't fear people who are to do certain things different from us, whether it's celebrate different holidays or, you know, have sex in ways that we don't consider to be sex or whatever it is that we are all part of creation, and we are all, you know, we're all humanity, and we're all in this together. Oh, so it doesn't mean that you have to go join the Peace Corps or something like that. I mean that we mostly walk this spiritual path to feel better, you know, but we will feel better and we'll be healthier and we will do better and accumulate the things we want. We'll be able to manifest those things if we begin to accept the fact that we are all one. So regardless of our politics, regardless of any of those things, you can still have your separate beliefs, and you can still have your, but that's just your individuality. That no longer is it that it's right and wrong. But if we can just learn to accept this, I think that we will just be able to be happier, you know, be happier, you know, we will be happier. We will manifest the things that we want. So that said, let's see. We've got about 11 minutes left. Many of the people who were calling, there were people calling in for readings, but we're going to kind of try to keep readings limited tonight so that we could get this series off the ground. Is there anything else that either of you, I just talked for a big long time, is there anything else either of you would like to share in the last 10 minutes we have left here?
Well, I just wanted to elaborate a little bit on what you were saying as far as working, is, you know, that we're not truly separate, you know, we think we are, but when it comes down to it, and this came to me a couple months ago, is that there is no religion in heaven. You know, it's really kind of everybody is just all one, and where it's almost like we're on the earth to you know, to go out of our way, but actually, you know, if we can think of it as different expressions, you know, of honoring the source, God, whatever we call him, you know, and respecting those beliefs and philosophies, then I think that we can get along a lot better, you know. And when you think of it, the wars that we have are basically all religious wars. And, you know, it's really too bad. that it is like that. So I guess, you know, my thing is, you know, that we respect each other and, you know, try to live cohesively. So I guess that's my wish for, we haven't really talked about what we want for 2014, but I guess that's my wish for 2014, you know, that we can learn to respect and live cohesively in our world.
That's lovely.
That's a very beautiful thought. Very powerful. Jan, what about you? What are your wishes for the new year?
Well, I do have a poem. Should I go ahead and read it? It says,
yes, please do. I forgot you did so many things. I forgot about the poem, so please share that with us. I've got a lot of background noise here with fireworks, so I'm going to mute myself.
Okay. It's a little bit goofy, but, you know, whatever. And it says, the new year is coming in now. It's going to be sunny and bright, wonderful and alive. I can feel it as it approaches. It has already shown itself as progress being in order. The new year of 2014 is about to arrive, letting go of sadness and sorrow, reaching now for new learning, new beginnings, and a new tomorrow, accepting what never became and allowing for another try at it. Don't give up. It's a new day to reclaim. Not pushing, but continually moving forward on a more gentle, even keel, still stretching one's goals, dreams, visions, but also keeping it real. Still always acknowledging one's heart directive. The knowledge within, our soul, is always reflective as we take charge and responsibility of our actions and choices with help from my higher selves, our spirit, Lord, God, which can include whom you choose to listen to those divine voices. It's going to be so exciting, so fun to start out this new year, a chance to start again and to take our most healthy inherent stand and make it the best. Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. It will be grand. I wish you the best, the most, the loveliest, the healthiest, the happiest, the coolest, the hottest, the awesomest, the sweetest, the greatest, the finest, the funniest, the funnest, the zaniest, the hip-hooraiest, the lightest, the otherworldliest, the psychicest, the mightiest, the nicest of New Year's, and many, many more. And that's my wish for 2014.
Cool. Very nice. I like it. This afternoon, I just want to say one more thing, and then we can go. This afternoon, I had done something like, you know, those post boxes, and all I said was, "Happy New Year! May this be a year like no other. May all your dreams come true. Because if you can imagine it, it can be true. Because the universe wants to work with you." Happy 2014.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Thank you.
I love that too. And I love the meditation. That was awesome. I didn't want it to end. Felt so good.
I felt
really good.
Yeah, I didn't want to make it too long because, you know,
yeah.
Because we were on the radio, but
right.
But that's kind of what I do in my classes. I do meditations, and we, you know, speak with the angels and stuff. So that's just kind of an example, too, of some of my meditations.
That's going to be great. That'll be really fun.
Looking forward to it very much. So. Next.
And so Did Amy, she muted herself out?
Oh, no. I keep muting and unmuting because I've got fireworks outside. And I also, we have some people who are trying to get into the show who probably are not, motives are somewhat questionable, so I've been trying to man some of the activity that's been going on in the chat room and some people who are trying to get on the air. But anyway, no worries about that. But I will just let the two of you again. I'm just so, it's been thrilled. It's just been a great year. So many new friendships and sharing, you know, just it's just really exciting. And it's a lot of fun to share this earthly journey, this, you know, to walk this walk with people who are trying to, you know, broaden their horizons and share their knowledge and different things like that. So with that said, I hear some more fireworks going on, so I'm going to mute. And if you two want to close out the show, we'll do that. And I'll just wish everybody a happy new year before the noise starts again.
Happy New Year. Thank you, Amy. It's been a great show. You're just fantastic.
Yes, and Happy New Year to you, Jan, and to Amy. And I look forward to a great year with both of you on our radio show on Tuesday nights. And
I totally agree. Oh, sorry.
And also to wish to the listeners and the people that are in the chat room a very happy new year, too. And party on.
And same to you, Peg. Thank you very much. It's been such a great, fun show today, and I can just barely talk. But and thanks for everybody coming to our show today in the chat room. I really appreciate it. And I just want everybody a fantastic new year, too, and a healthy one, and had a great 2013. It's been a great year also for me, and I just feel like it's going to be another good year coming up for a lot of us.
I do, too. I really have that feeling, too. I think a lot of people in 2013, it was a bit difficult for different reasons, but I think 2014 is going to be even better, you know. And so we just look forward, you know, to the future and, you know, live each moment as if, you know, they were new moments, and try not to look too much in the past. So, you know, just kind of go with the flow, as they say. So, I guess that's all I have to say.
Sounds good to me. I'm looking forward to that too, and that's what I want to focus on. And so that is something to really try and honor for our new year. And it's just so exciting to be involved with all of you people, because you're all so experienced and knowledgeable, and I'm learning, and it's totally fun for me, and I'm loving it. And anyway, we're going to be doing a lot of cool things on Tuesday, and I'm also going to be taking Peg's angel class, just a first part of it, which I'm totally ecstatic about. So that's going to be really interesting, and to learn about the angels, maybe I'll be able to see them. That'll be cool if I could.
Cool.
But anyway,
yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Should be a great class. And I'm still taking people if anyone is interested. You can go to my website and contact me if you want to find out more about it. I'm willing to, you know, I'd be glad to talk to anyone that is interested. So I guess we can wish everyone a good night. Amy, did you want to say anything?
I think she's said her goodbyes, I guess.
Okay. All right. Well,
Happy New Year, everybody.
Yeah, Happy New Year, everyone. Have a great day, and a great day tomorrow, and enjoy your night and tomorrow. So long.